The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, everybody. It is John Pollock here at Post Wrestling. We are live. It is a very, very newsworthy day in the world of professional wrestling, and I thought the perfect person to bring on today, the editor of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Dave Meltzer, is with us. Dave, I'm not even going to ask you how you're doing today. It must just be a whirlwind with the latest in the Vince McMahon saga.
Oh, yeah. It's been it's been a day without sleep, that's for sure. And it's going to be a week without sleep. This whole week has been incredible. Yeah. I mean, I think it's the biggest week for wrestling news in, 15 years? It's the Benoit thing, since the Benoit thing, probably.
One with, I think, like, the ramifications, it's going to take a while to probably really process, like, what this is ultimately going to mean. But this is the removal of the most powerful figure in the industry. And I think what would differentiate today from Friday is that the idea of a comeback, of the heat dying down, I think my optimism on that is greatly, greatly lessened, that Vince McMahon being in any kind of power position again in WWE is, you would have to say, it's almost extinguished after today.
I would agree with you. I mean, I think that this morning tells us, there was always that thought that is he going to come back? Is this kind of going to be one of those things where he's, maneuvering behind the scenes? I mean, I have, been in touch with a ton of people in WWE, and There is the thing of what is going to be most interesting is when the day comes when Vince watches the TV and he sees something that he doesn't like and how he reacts. He is still the majority shareholder, but he can't come back, and I guess he's off the board of directors. I mean, I guess that's one of the things that I heard today as well. And so he's,
they have removed his on the company's corporate site. They have removed him from the list of the board of directors. So that would certainly be consistent with that removal.
Right. So he's out completely. And there may be more stuff to come, but it's a seismic change, and it changes the entire industry in so many ways. I mean, when I look, this is huge when it comes to AEW, just because Paul Levesque is very different from Vince McMahon, and he's got a lot more. He's not as narrow-minded when it comes to who can be a star. And a lot of people were afraid to go to WWE feeling that they would be, for historical reasons, you would look at it and go like, I'm too small or I'm not good looking enough or whatever for that company, but I'm a really good wrestler and AEW is the best place for me. And I think that there's the feeling now, now that it becomes a lot more of a, it could be a lot more of a bidding war, and that favors WWE because they've got the cash. So for AEW, this is a big thing for, Paul Levesque has, he's had his health problems and he's got a lot of work being director of, head of talent relations and head of creative at the same time. And then there's also the stuff that's going to go down over the next months and years when he brings in his people, I just think, again, this is just a name, but it's like, and I believe he's probably signed to a long-term deal, but William Regal, just a perfect example, right? It's like he'd never have left if he had thought that this was going to happen. I mean, he was fired, but the point is he would never have been fired, with Paul Levesque in charge. That was a Vince McMahon move. So, and there's other people like that were let go that he didn't agree with, and he would probably want them back. And there's so many huge implications here. The stock's going up because people think that it's a lot more likely to be sold, and it is.
Yeah. So to bring everybody up to speed, that this morning a press release went out just, reiterating that Nick Khan and Stephanie McMahon Levesque are the new co-CEOs, but then adding in the fact that Paul Levesque would be assuming all the creative responsibilities, effectively taking the Vince McMahon role. The buck will stop with Paul Levesque on the creative side while also handling the head of talent relations. And I mean, it's number one, that's an extreme workload for Paul Levesque. I also look at, one of the lessons maybe coming out of this whole thing is maybe that position should not be held by one person, that maybe it should be sort of a separation in terms of the person that's overseeing creative and also talent relations, but that remains to be seen. But then
I completely agree with you on that. And also, I mean, again, this stuff is all in play, and he may realize that, and he may, you know, somebody else may end up head of talent relations and he oversees them. So it, you know, there's so many things, and there's people, you know, like NXT people, will they be, you know, I'm talking about like creative people or production people and all that. Are they going to come up because he was busy, you know, like just throwing out a name, Jeremy Borash, right? You know, somebody like, you know, people like that, that are behind the scenes there, that, you know, one of the thoughts was, is someday when Paul gets control, they will be his team rather than using Vince's team. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but long term, you know, everybody's looking at it. You know, there's a lot of questions, but the show goes on. We're going to have a big show tonight from the Garden with no Vince, no Vince at the Garden.
There's no Vince at the Garden, and I would almost look at, you know, the revelation today that the WWE put out in their 8K was that they had uncovered approximately $14.6 million in unrecorded expenses dating back to 2006. This has caused them to have to go back and essentially redo their financial statements going back to 2019. They have a moving target of August 9th to have all of these financial statements up to date. But, you know, a pretty stern note in this 8K: in light of the unrecorded expenses and related facts, the company expects to conclude that its internal control over financial reporting was not effective as a result of one or more material weaknesses. The company continues to evaluate the appropriate accounting treatment for the unrecorded expenses, as well as its internal control over financial reporting. Now, additional reporting has come out that it would appear that this was personal funds of Vince McMahon's. However, there was a company benefit to these funds being spent and these women not speaking, that there was still an impact on the company by this information not getting out. So it's not as cut and dry as personal funds versus company action. And there's also
more money to be spent, which would also be personal funds,
is still to come. And above the figure reported by the Wall Street Journal, which had reported $12.5 million, and that's not even to say this is the exact, like, there might not be one for one overlap, dollar for dollar here. Yeah. You know, there is, you know, additional payment or payments beyond what was known of the four NDAs that were out there.
Right. So there'd be $2.6 million or whatever it is. More in payment. And that's probably it, because, you know, a lot of people were thinking like, well, is there going to be more that comes out? And I guess there is more, but it's you know, but it's not like it's like double or anything like that. But it is more than the story that originally broke.
And this would appear, Dave, to be the, you know, it's kind of a sad commentary on things, that it's not so much the actions were, how they were committed, or the fact that they were committed, allegedly, but that how they were handled. That's ultimately the downfall here. And this, to me, supersedes all of these allegations that came out, Dave. Like, it looked like this was something that, at least from a public standpoint, was something Vince could withstand. We don't know how the corporate side reacted to this and partners, but publicly, I mean, they came out of this and we didn't see a big stock drop.
Nope.
There were those that were standing by Vince regardless. And this seemed like this was something that, yeah, it's damaging, but not fatal. But it was, you know, the allegations of like misappropriation of funds or just not reporting these expenses, that's the bomb to drop. And that's going to be the fatalistic nature of this for Vince.
Yes. I think that, I think it's pretty clear that there's no comeback from this. And, you know, it's stunning that it happened so quick. I mean, look, when the $7.5 million and the allegations, you know, with the coercion and you know, somebody being, you know, allegedly fired over not continuing an affair, I guess is the way to put it. That looked, when I read that, that looked brutal to me. Yet, you know, after, you know, people were just playing that off like, you know, nothing else. You know, like it didn't seem fatal after a couple of days, but it did turn out to be fatal.
How do you expect that this changes the nature of Vince McMahon's handling from a company standpoint? Like Friday, I think that anyone that's on the outside looking in would maybe be a bit aghast at Stephanie McMahon leading a chant like that. But I think anyone that follows this, it couldn't have been too surprising.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised if there's any kind of lionization of Vince McMahon, even mentioning Vince McMahon, I'm suspect of tonight. Do you see differently tonight? How do you handle this as, you know, a Vince McMahon farewell, knowing that Friday was, they didn't put Vince on television. That was certainly a line they did not want to cross, but it was designed as sort of a celebration of Vince and not just erasing him.
That is a very interesting question. I mean, I think that people are going to be torn. My gut would be not to mention him on the show at all. Certainly he's not going to appear on the show. Certainly he'll never appear on that show again. You know, maybe, you know, maybe they could, there'll be something in some form way down the line, but I mean, perhaps a Hall of Fame thing years from now. I don't know, because it's like, how do you have a WWE Hall of Fame without Vince McMahon? But, and they do want the Hall of Fame to be credible, but at the same time, you know, that's a real tough one, right? Cause he is gone and he's the most important figure in the history of the business. And, but for tonight, you know, my guess is that it might be mentioned quickly in passing, but very quickly, and then get onto the show if it's mentioned at all.
A huge figure in all of this is Nick Khan, who, of course, is now the co-CEO with Stephanie McMahon-Levesque. And he is someone that it would be very interesting to get into the head of what these past 5 weeks have been like for him, as someone that I don't think there's any debate that his job was exceptionally more difficult over these last 5 weeks, as somebody, you know, that you have to imagine was a point person in selling Vince in all these different directions over the past year, with the Netflix documentary, with the scripted series, and the fact that he is going to be your lead out there, that are talking with all your partners, that are negotiating these rights, and you have this somewhat toxic brand in Vince McMahon that is so entrenched with your company that Vince McMahon's removal should hopefully clear the path that they want to present a message of a new non-Vince WWE.
Yeah, but it's like WWE and Vince McMahon are synonymous in so many ways. And yet he's completely gone and has to be gone. And yet his daughter and his son-in-law are running the company. You know, so it's like...
And the stock embraced it today. It was not...
Absolutely.
You know, scared of, you know, of a Vinceless WWE. It was quite the opposite message today.
Well,
at least early on.
Yeah, well, the main reason that the stock went up is because there's all kinds of rumors of a sale, and they think that with the sale price, the stock will be far more valuable. So that's a lot of it. But yes, I mean, the idea that Vince, it's funny because George Barrios and Michelle Wilson left in the play, and the stock tanked. Vince left, which everybody thought, if it was like 6 months ago, the stock would tank. And in fact, the stock's going through the moon, you know, it's going through the roof. And, you know, again, I think that a lot of people with Vince, I think people thought that even though there's been rumors for years of, you know, the idea of a sale, you know, and it made sense and all that. A lot of people just like, Vince will never do it. Vince will never do it. But with Vince gone, and as the majority shareholder, and also probably needing to divest in some ways, or maybe it's better for him to divest his stock, you know, because he's got 80% voting share. That means somebody's going to buy, which means that, you know, the feeling is that, you know, there's all these media companies, you know, went from NBCU and Fox and everyone like that, where you could make the big case that they should buy. It's a good purchase for them. So,
and
yeah,
it's a massive feather in Nick Khan's cap to be the lead on that, you know,
he'd be the guy brokering it. And he's brokered some huge deals, and this would be the biggest deal of his life. Yeah.
I always believed with Nick Khan, a huge pickup for WWE. I think that's an understatement.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I never, Dave.
Especially now.
Absolutely, yeah. Now. And that's sort of the point that I think in many ways, like, he becomes almost irreplaceable. And I never saw this as sort of his final spot in his career. Like, WWE would be a chapter. Does that change now? Do you see Nick Khan in this for the long haul? Like, he's got, I believe, 3 years left on his deal. And that becomes an interesting question, because I think he is somebody that carries enormous weight with the, in the world that he exists.
His value has increased tremendously. And I think that, you know, as far as his future goes, you know, that depends on who it's sold to and who they want, because they may want their own person in charge if they sell. And I think he's well aware of that, and he'll negotiate himself into a, you know, he'll be negotiated into the situation in some form. So, you know, There's just all those questions. It's like, what happens if it's sold? If it's not sold, I think that it's at some point it's going to be sold, though. I just think that that's an inevitability, just the nature of how everything is going in the world to the big conglomerates and everything, that at some point the thing gets sold to one of the TV partners or, you know, somebody like that. And, you know, just like UFC. And then, at that point with Nick, you know, he may move on, or he may become a big executive in that bigger company for all we know.
Yeah. I'm very curious, this being, you know, a week of a big show in Nashville. Do you sense any sort of public presence that Stephanie and Nick Khan have to try and get out there? Do they want to be out in front of the media this week of sort of putting, I think tonight will be very indicative of like what kind of message they want to put out about this company. Do they want to go out there and put new faces attached to this company, or do they not want to be in front of questions given this investigation?
I don't think they want to be answering questions this week, you know, because what, you know, all the questions are going to be unflattering and they're all going to be about Vince, and Vince will be, you know, it'll all be about Vince. So it's probably best not to do it. I think that maybe the big questions will start coming at the next investors call, which will be first week of August, most likely sometime in August, maybe, you know, August 9th, August 4th, whatever day that turns out to be. But I think that's when they'll get the investors questions. As far as media questions, I don't know, because, you know, the rumor has it that they're going to be more more media friendly, you know, because, like, again, a lot of the weird stuff with the media with WWE was Vince. You know, I mean, it was Vince coming from the old carny days of wrestling, of hating the media. And Nick Khan is an absolutely different person when it comes to, you know, the media, and because he comes from the real world. So that's going to be interesting how that's handled. You know, Paul Levesque was, when he did NXT, he tried to be more media friendly than not necessarily than a major company, but certainly more than Vince had ever been.
And was very good at, you know, reading the room and speaking to that audience, you know, every couple of months, and having kind of that open dialogue. I mean, that is something like you could reasonably expect here from Paul Levesque, as, you know, a minor change.
I could think that maybe before pay-per-views that, you know, we'll have that, or maybe at least before like SummerSlams and stuff, you know, that will become a regular. I expect that'll become a regular thing from him. Nothing else, you know, have those media calls right before the big shows. I don't know if it'd be every month, but certainly like before the real big ones. Yeah.
In terms of a lot of the, you know, the major players involved, does today's reaction, just seeing that, you know, the potential of a sale, where the stock is, do your opinions change at all about, you know, the expectancy of some of these, you know, other key figures in the company in terms of their longevity? Is WWE, do they have more rope now to make more significant changes quickly, given the fact that, you know, business-wise, they are on very stable ground?
Yeah. I mean, on Friday, Saturday, I was kind of told don't expect big changes because they want the stock market to think that everything is stable and fine. But with the stock going up like this, I would say that is not as much of a concern as it was a couple of days ago. But I don't know that they're going to make rash big changes right away. I think that in 2 years, you know, Paul Levesque's team's going to be in, you know, and Vince McMahon's team, you know, they're not going to be in. And that's just an inevitability that there will be different people in charge of certain things. You know, I mean, and, you know, Nick has brought people in himself, and he may bring more people in as well. But on the wrestling side, you know, it's Stephanie and Paul are running the wrestling. They're going to be they're the point people now.
Are you expecting that there will be transparency at the end of this board's investigation, which, for whatever people want to glean from, I mean, it was a real investigation that they conducted here, and, you know, it will be notable, I think, at the end of this all, like, what findings are presented publicly, that they will feel the need to be transparent about what their findings are.
Yeah, I expect that at least some will be made public, if not all. I think just for the very reason of, because if they don't, it looks like they're hiding something. And I think that it's very clear that they don't want to be hiding something. So I expect, when this investigation's over, you know, we're going to get the whole thing. And you know, I mean, it's like, it'll probably be like 90-95% of the whole thing. You know, I mean, there's always going to be stuff that they don't get or whatever. But I think that we're going to get the whole picture of, everything having to do with Vince. Yeah.
On the creative side, with the decision to go with Paul Levesque, did that seem like the most logical choice in terms of somebody to place in that role that does have a name to the public, that is someone that at least, you know, he is coming off like a pretty public defeat on the Wednesday night.
I know. Well, guess what? You know, that statement, it's not a, you know what I mean? It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. We thought that the marathon ended and the marathon actually just started. So, but I mean, yeah, I think that again, because everything was so sudden that it was almost like, okay, it's gotta be Paul. And now I think everyone's excited about it and he's going to have certainly a shot. And, you know, I it's like he did lose the thing to, AW, and there was a reason that he lost. There's a lot of reasons why he lost that. With the power of the main roster, those reasons all change. He's going to have the better looking show, you know, the more expensive show. He's going to have the better name talent. I'm not saying that they're necessarily better talent, but they're bigger names. So he's got every advantage in this war. And, you know, he's got the far, 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 far more financial backing, even though, you know, Tony Khan obviously has great financial, you know, backing as well, but not, he doesn't have a $1 billion company to, you know, and he does run on a budget. I mean, there's, as we all know, I mean, just for a name, Kevin Owens, you know, Kevin Owens was very willing to go and they did not want to match the WWE offer for Kevin Owens. So he's not just spending like a drunken sailor, like some people think, oh, he's just whatever. He is, you know, every, you know, he's never made a move for Brock Lesnar, you know, because he just, the feeling that number is just too high for his revenues.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And it'll also tell us, like, within time of, you know, what he took from that period, like lessons learned or that are not going to be learned. Like there were certainly many, many lessons that came down on his side that he could have taken. But you're also jumping into a totally different beast. And over the last year, he's had a lot more bigger things to deal with than pro wrestling.
That's the other aspect. It's like you've got a guy who just is coming off, you know, life-threatening heart issues, you know, not that many months ago, and he's fixed up and he's got, you know, and everything like that. And I've talked to people who have said, you know, you can do it as long as you don't like totally overstress yourself and everything. But he's in a position.
This is a stressful job. This is a very stressful job.
It's an incredibly time-consuming, stressful job. So it's like, that's another question, you know, like, as part of me, you know, I personally like Paul, and when the thing went down, I was, you know, my thought as someone who on a personal level likes him was, you've got all the money in the world, go home, take a rest. You know, I figured he would come back in some role. I did not at that point figure he would come back in this role, but here he is. But it is, you know, it is a concern. It has to be a concern.
So from my understanding of sort of the structure, it's very much that, you know, Paul Levesque will be that final say, Bruce Pritchard underneath him, and then you've got all the, you know, the divisions team. of the writing staff from there. But Bruce Pritchard is essentially in the same position he was a week ago.
Yes. I mean, as far as long term, who knows? But yeah, the one thing from talking to people there is that they believe there'll be more long term storylines because Paul's not going to sit there and rip things up and things less 50-50 booking, that there will be guys put over and, you know, guys not put over. And, you know, a wider variety of talent, maybe a wider variety of ring styles in the ring. But the feeling is in particular is, as far as storylines go, you know, like again, you know, we would see the thing where, just throwing out a name, Veer Mahan, right? Got like a couple of weeks, you know, big push, and all of a sudden, boom, disappears. And that will happen with some people where you sit there and go like, okay, they didn't make it. But they'll probably get more time, I would think, because and again, it's not the same as NXT booking, because it's just a different animal. But a lot of what you saw with NXT as far as his theories of booking that's just theories. That's what's going to happen. So I expect for a hardcore fan, I think it's going to be a much better product. There's the argument that that doesn't work, you know, that the hardcore fan, with the hardcore fan doesn't work for the casual fan or whatever, or for the giant number and everything like that. And, you know, that's a weird one. If it's good, it will work. You know, he's got the production, you know, because the production is so important. If there's one thing that I've learned from the pandemic is that the production and the fans are so, so important. And, he's got that, you know, and the company is doing very well. You know, again, it's a huge advantage. And again, he can't fail financially. The money's guaranteed, you know, all with the TV and everything like that. And he's not going to be a risk taker, you know, like somebody who like with WCW, where they did all kinds of just ridiculous, stupid things because they lost touch. He's not going to be that guy. Like, if anything, I'm not saying he'll be conservative, but he's enough of a fan to understand what the fans want that he's not going to do something really, really stupid. And the only thing that would hurt them is something really stupid. As long as they're solid, they're going to be fine and great. Actually, great.
Yeah. And I think in the short term, Dave, I mean, like, I'm expecting it'll be a pretty big number tonight, just in terms the curiosity, whether there's real changes tonight or not, there's going to be that interest tonight. It's a big show at the Garden regardless. And with all of this, anytime there's a major shakeup like this, you're looking at what changes to see. Like, I think in the short term, this will be a boost for viewership.
For the first couple of weeks. And in the end, you know, it's going to be, you know, the product will be what it should be. You know, I mean, the number's going to be what it should be. But tonight should be very, very big. And for a while, I think that there'll be curiosity on everything. And then, you know, there's going to be new ideas. So that should work first, you know. I think SummerSlam, there's going to be tremendous curiosity on how SummerSlam goes. You know, just every aspect of booking, championships, you know, more belts, less belts, everything like that. You know, it's all up in the air now.
Just circling back to the Vince portion of this story, one of the somewhat ominous lines in the 8K was that WWE has received and may receive in the future regulatory, investigative, and enforcement inquiries, subpoenas, yep, or demands arising from, related to, or in connection with these matters. So, I mean, that does tell you the potential fallout from all of this. Like, this is not just uncovering these expenses and going back and fixing your financial reports. Like, they're, I mean, I think that this does shine some light on the fact that this was an issue where Vince either steps down, or it could have been an issue where the SEC is involved here when you're a public company. And what could come out of this on a financial side? Like, this story is far from over when it comes to the fallout from Vince.
Yeah, it would be very interesting if we get some class action lawsuits by legal firms, because then you go to discovery and, you know, yeah, all kinds of stuff, you know, could come out. Yeah. You know, when you talk about like subpoenas and everything like that, and are some of these, you know, do they pay people to go away, sort of like with the Saudi thing? I mean, is that the next thing? And that was always, you know, to me, going to be something that was, you know, part of it. As soon as those threats of lawsuits and those investigations came, I don't think anyone was looking to go to court, and I don't even know they were looking to go to discovery. I think that they were probably looking, hey, this is what happened with the Saudi Arabia thing, and we could just get a giant payout. And so, but obviously from this, just with that alone, you know, you're looking at the idea that that may have to happen again too.
Yeah. And I think we'd be remiss not to go over the fact of, you know, how much of this sees the light of day without the Wall Street Journal's reporting. Like, I think that that's a huge part of this entire thing, is the fact that these, you know, that, you know, I can't imagine the company just disclosing this. Even like, we know that the email was sent in late March, but I mean, it took, you know, this level of reporting that had tremendous sourcing and to really uncover these very unflattering stories and bring them to light, that forced action. I don't think any of this was going to be voluntary.
It wasn't going to be voluntary, and it wasn't going to, but it's possible if the investigation revealed something at that point when the investigation itself came out, we may have had this. This certainly sped it up greatly. And then again, if nobody knew about the investigation, we could have had a big fight in the board of directors, because Vince was still going to be the head of the board of directors. You know, I mean, that wouldn't change. So there could have been a big bloodletting, but that's not happening. And it happened. Yeah, it happened now because they didn't want that bloodletting, and they didn't want that optic of, you know, the idea that the board of directors is versus the McMahon family. If in fact Stephanie and Paul, you know, tried to be loyal to Vince, and you know, and the fact that, you know, again, they haven't said anything, and I don't think that they will, you know, much more than his other than what Stephanie already said on Friday.
You've had a couple of days. I'm sure you've thought about it at least at some length. Like, what is the next step for Vince McMahon?
I think that he just disappears, and you know, I don't know. I mean,
like he is sitting on an extreme amount of wealth, and I just this is a situation he is. The only thing I could compare it to was the time he tore his quads. But even then, it's like he was running things. It's like he's never been in this position where he's waking up with nowhere to go and nothing to do.
Yeah. But he's got a ton of money. I wouldn't, you know, it's like you can always find something to do and you can always vacation and you can always tell your, you know what I mean? You get some hobbies, you know? I don't think it's that bad in the sense. I think he's going to miss it because it's his life. But, you know, at that age, the retirement probably should have come anyway. You know, we may find out right now, you know, that things get so much better. That, you know, is probably something that maybe the move could have been made 3 or 4 years ago, or maybe we'll find out how valuable Vince really was. And we were wrong. You know,
I guess the better question is just on the business front, Dave, is this coupled with how the XFL, folded, like, is his name so toxic now that a business who wants to get in business with him, like, has he really isolated himself in terms of his options if he wants to go into a different direction? Because I just have a hard time imagining that this is someone that's just going to sit back on a yacht and you know, sit back and do nothing.
I don't think that it would be impossible for him to start another business. No, I could see that, but not another. But, you know, not another wrestling business. If the football league was still going with him in charge, right, I think he would have to step down on that too, though. So I don't think it's going to be anything soon. Years from now, yeah, I could see him. But what would it be? You know, I mean, I don't know what it would be.
Well, we'll just wrap up in a couple of minutes. When it comes to this week's issue of The Observer and a story of this magnitude, have you even started on a story like this? Like, when do you sit down for something that it's, you know, Friday's chapter is over, is dwarfed by today's news? What's kind of your process when it comes to a story like this?
Yeah, well, I mentally told myself Tuesday I'm going to start the story, so that's what I'm going to do. But there's so much to it, and yeah, a whole bunch of layers. And I mean, the whole thing is like, this is more than Vince McMahon stepping down. The entire future of the business, you know, the landscape has completely changed because of, you know, the effect on AEW, the difference in how WWE is going to be with somebody else in charge, you know, with younger people, with different ideas. You know, will the product get better? You know, I mean, everyone's so enthusiastic that the product will get better. And yet there's always people who swear by Vince, you know, that Vince is like the genius that made this. I'm excited for WWE because I remember how much I enjoyed NXT. I think that those like big shows, I think the big shows are going to be great. You know, and AEW has great big shows. I think that from that standpoint, it's going to be a great period for wrestling fans with Vince out. But it's going to be, but it's just a weird thing because it's like, you know, for me, I mean, my whole life has been covering Vince McMahon. You know what I mean? It's like almost like I woke up, you know, Friday afternoon, and especially today, Friday, you know, when the news broke, or Friday after the stock market, you know, closed and they broke the news. I mean, my first thought was just like, this is what I've been doing for 40 years. My entire life has been, you know, covering Vince, and now that's over. And I never thought of life after Vince for me. So, you know, it is a good thing and again, he had to be out. It's kind of, you know, and in some ways it's unfortunate for a guy who, you know, but he did the stuff, right? But I mean, for a guy who built the business to be, you know, I keep thinking in the sense of all this time, was somebody going to beat Vince? Was somebody going to beat Vince? And Eric, you know, was on top for a little while, but he certainly didn't beat Vince. And Tony Khan's had great success building a company, but he certainly wasn't, you know, at the level of Vince or going to beat Vince, I don't think, anytime soon, if ever. But Vince beat Vince, you know, I mean, that's what happened. You know, Vince was the one, nobody put Vince down. Vince put himself down. And I don't think he ever imagined that. I remember him talking about how, like, you know, the big shark always, you know, beats the, you know, the young shark is always going to devour the old shark at some point. And when that young shark comes for me, I want to give it the worst indigestion possible. You know, he knew that the day would come. Either, you know, maybe he would die, but he knew that the day would come or could come until he got so freaking rich from all this that then the his money was so much that he wasn't going to get devoured by anybody except himself.
My final question is just in terms of this story ultimately shaping the legacy of Vince McMahon, when that inevitable, you know, reflection on his life is written, do you expect, especially from a mainstream standpoint, that he is remembered as a visionary, a disgrace, or do you have to use both of those words in that opening paragraph?
Both. Yeah. You cannot downplay the 40 years that he ran that company and he took it to the heights that he took it. You know, he took the business to the heights he took it. You can't downplay that. In fact, in long term, he'll be remembered more for that than this. But this will be the footnote of the ending of him. Yeah. But it's like, you know, other people who have, you know, I mean, when it comes to wrestling history, he'll be remembered as the most powerful guy in the history of wrestling. And like other people, you know, something happened and he was gone, like almost all of them. I mean, very few of them left on their own volition. There's only, you know, one Sam Mushnick, right? Or, you know, who actually left, you know, on his own volition.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for taking this amount of time to chat with us. I know that you will be back tonight with Brian Alvarez up at WrestlingObserver.com, and I'm sure everyone will be checking out this week's edition of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, which that will be Tuesday's project for you.
This whole
God knows what the news cycle will be 48 hours from now.
I hope the rest of the week's quiet.
We will see. That's just about jinxed it. But thank you so much, Dave. And that will wrap everything up. Wei Ting and I will be back tonight with Rewind to Raw. So you can catch that over at postwrestling.com. And that will conclude today's special edition of the Post Daily News Show.